Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
South Africa's wheat and sugar industries are once again in the spotlight. The National Treasury slashing import duties on wheat and flour, potentially lowering costs for consumers. I guess that's good news. But at the same time, it sharply hiked sugar tariffs twice in just 1 week. And supporters say these moves help balance supply and protect local producers. But critics are arguing the system creates uncertainty and could even distort the market. So let's look at the implications. I'm in conversation with Francois Rousseau, Chief Executive Officer of the Southern African Agri Initiative. Francois, thank you very much indeed. Let's start with the basics. How do you think Treasury justifies sharp tariff shifts without any formal investigation by ITAC, which is the International Trade Administration Commission?
Well, good afternoon, Jeremy, and good afternoon to your listeners. Well, you know, for us, I think if we look at the two types of tariffs with regards to wheat and wheat prices, you know, South Africa only produces about half of the wheat that is required by the country and imports the other half. And it's just not profitable for farmers to try and fill that gap, as we have other type of commodities we can perform better in. And also South Africa's climatic conditions is not susceptible into producing that. So for us to lower tariffs on wheat, and that's what we require, and because it is required so much by the consumers themselves, we see that as a good move and a logical move, as this has been the trend for the past 20 years with regards to production.
What will it mean then for farmers who are already battling?
Well, you know, from that side, we are not a very strong producer of wheat just because it is that hard to produce it. You know, those farmers who do farm wheat, they already are able to push their full quota into the market, and most of them are diversified as well. So it's not something that we compete in very well. And like I said, you know, no country who we are food secure because we can trade that which we have an abundance of for that which we require.
So now let's talk.
In this case, meaning wheat.
Fair enough. So now let's talk about sugar, which I think you've said is a win for local farmers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all know that with regards to the sugar taxes in previous years and the price going up, you know, it's put a lot of pressure on sugarcane farmers. And it's all about profitability. Any farming enterprise is about profitability. If it's wheat, if it's sugar, if you're not able to produce it and make a profit, then you're not going to farm with that commodity. Now, for us as family farmers and the representatives of family farmers, we welcome and we recognize the fact that, you know, the tariffs have been increased, but that protects our local farmers, and especially in a sector that employs about 85,000 workers that are directly affected in the industry.
I understand your argument and also the constituency that you represent, but let me put to you that this also comes at the expense of millions of South African consumers who will feel the knock-on effect because we are already battling food inflation.
Yeah, no, well, there's no disputing that. And, you know, I think that that is something from a consumer vantage point that, that needs to be challenged. But again, you know, for us representing from a farmer side, this is not a bad thing.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about transparency as far as this policy is concerned regarding sort of picking winners and losers here. So you've spoken about wheat duties. That's going to cause difficulties for farmers. Sugar duties rise. Who decides which sector gets protection and what criteria? It almost, in one way, seems like someone's throwing a dice here.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, I can tell you from a producer side, we are not recognized in that determination. You know, I'm sure there are other agencies and research firms which are hopefully consulted when these types of tariffs are introduced. And hopefully also what we can glean from it is that past adjustments or past amendments have been taken into consideration.
Some critics, Francois, will argue that short-term tariff flips like this create a boom-bust cycle in farming. And surely it's going to affect smaller-scale farmers when it comes to their planning if this policy keeps changing.
Yeah, I think with regards to these two commodities, these are not usually your smaller scale farmers that are affected. And especially with regards to the markets that they serve as well, I do not think that is applicable to such a large extent.
So let's get back to the sugar industry, if we can. Something that you've welcomed, but surely these tariff hikes mask maybe deeper structural issues within the sector itself. I'm talking about things like outdated practices, maybe inefficiency, or even poor labor conditions.
That's a tough one, and I'm sure it does. But you know, these are the type of deeper issues that needs to be investigated, and this is also what will be discovered if there's a bigger consultation with the sector.
There's also concern, Francois, that tariff protection, such as we're talking about now, reduces competitiveness. Do you think that we're making local producers maybe a little more complacent rather than globally competitive?
No, not at all. If there's two countries in the world that do not get subsidies, that do not get disaster relief aid, and especially tariff protection, it's the South African farmers and it's the New Zealand farmers. You can talk about the most parts of Europe, which actually the only reason why they are competitive is because they are protected via tariffs and subsidies. South African farmers definitely do not fall into that category.
But what happens if the tariffs change again, if we get another flip-flop? Surely it creates uncertainty within both of those sectors and maybe even other sectors as well. And again, it comes back to my question about making things more difficult to plan. Do you not need more consistency and even transparency from government in terms of this issue?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the transparency issue. But again, Jeremy, you know, with regards to wheat, we are not able to produce enough even for local demand. We only produce 50% of it. And then with regards to sugar, you know, most of our sugar production goes to the SACU countries, which is Botswana, Eswatini, Namibia, you know, and we need to protect local producers in that sense. But these are only two of the commodities and not the sector as a whole.
So you've said that wheat imports help, if I've heard you correctly, with a stable supply. But doesn't that also make us maybe too reliant, maybe even dangerously reliant on international markets, particularly during global shocks? Is there any way of right-sizing that equation, do you think?
Yeah, you see, the fact is this goes back since forever, you know, since the 90s and even before that. South Africa has never been a producer of wheat so that we can meet the local demand. So we've always traded that we have an abundance of, and I mean South Africa is a net exporter of agricultural commodities. So we trade that of which we have a surplus for that we do not. So in that regards, we do not really see an issue. And because the global wheat supply is very stable and there is an abundance of, and that's also the reason why the prices not only stay level and sufficient, but are also at a very good position, is because we have enough countries in the world that are able to supply wheat to countries like ours who require it.
I'm going to leave it there with my thanks. Francois Rousseau, thank you very much indeed. Chief Executive Officer of the Southern African Agri Initiative.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.